Inflation has jacked up the price of just about everything these past 3 years, but perhaps nothing so much as used cars. I am Rob West. Other things like COVID and supply chain interruptions contributed to huge price hikes for used cars, but those factors are now in the rearview mirror. So shouldn't things be getting better? We'll take a look at current prices and I'll give you 7 steps for making a wise used car purchase. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, let's turn the calendar back to 2019. You need to get another car and you've decided to buy used. You've done your homework and the make and model you want to buy is 3 years old and selling on average for just over $23,000. You think that's a lot of money, but at least you know you'll have 5 or more years of mostly trouble-free driving. So you go ahead with the purchase. Today, you're hoping that car lasts you a good deal longer because a similar purchase now will cost you, wait for it, $32,000, according to the car shopping site iCars.com. That's a 41% increase. If you go used car shopping today with the same budget you had in 2019, $23,000, you'll have to settle for a 6-year-old vehicle. And those figures take into account that used car prices have gone down nearly 7% in the last year and 1.2% in August alone, according to government figures. Analysts expect used car prices to fall even more as the inventory of new cars continues to improve in the months ahead. By the way, that's good news if you're looking to buy a new vehicle as well. New car prices are predicted to drop significantly in the near term as there's now something of a global glut of new vehicles, about 5 million more than predicted sales, which will force prices down. And that will have a ripple effect on used car prices, pushing them down as well. But what if you can't wait? What's the best way to buy a used car now? Well, the steps to making a wise used car purchase haven't changed. Here are 7 of them. The first is especially important when making a major purchase like a car. Establish how much you can afford to spend. If you've been saving for the purchase and you're using cash, you already know that number. If you plan on financing the car, you've got to figure out how much you can spend while making sure the payments fit within your budget. You can use a loan calculator to help you figure that out. You want to put at least 10% down on the car, 20% would be better. Then try to keep the term of the loan as short as possible. 3 years is ideal. Of course, once you have the loan paid off, keep making the payments to yourself by putting them in a special savings account so you can pay cash for the next car. Okay, second, determine the make and model vehicle that's best for you. Take into account the size of your family, cargo space, safety, and of course, reliability. You may come up with 2 or 3 different vehicles that meet your needs. That's okay. Having options will probably make the car hunting experience easier. 3, go online to Kelley Blue Book or Edmunds to get the estimated value of your chosen vehicles. We'll put links to all of the sites we mention in today's show notes. You can plug in a vehicle's year, make, model, and mileage to get an idea of what you should expect to pay. 4, you can start searching online at Auto Trader, Craigslist, AutoList, and CarMax. Make a list of the vehicles that seem to be priced fairly for their condition. 5, contact the seller and ask for the vehicle identification number, or VIN. You then use that to get a vehicle history report, and you can do that online at Carfax and AutoCheck. Make sure it has a clean title and that it's not been in a serious accident or totaled by an insurance company. Also check the mileage. Sometimes shady characters will spin back the odometer to make the vehicle appear to have fewer miles. If the vehicle history checks out, then move to step 6. Ask the seller to allow you to take the vehicle to an independent shop of your choosing to have it inspected. If the owner or lot salesperson says no, that's a deal breaker. Just walk away. Now, if the car checks out at the repair shop, you can move on to step 7, which is to make an offer. Since used car inventories are still limited, you probably can't haggle very much. But if you've done steps 1 through 6 properly, you at least know that the car you're buying is in good shape and should last many years if you take proper care of it. All right, so those are your 7 steps for buying a used car. I hope you find them helpful. And by the way, be patient. If you're willing to put in the time and work, you'll find the right car for you. All right, your calls are next at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Do we have a responsibility to others? If so, to what extent? This can be a hard question to answer. We see all sorts of suffering in our world. People in need of shelter, children who need loving homes. What can we do? Proverbs was written as a guide for a king in training. At the heart of the book is the need to fear and trust in the Lord. But it also has a lot of practical advice, like in Proverbs 3:27. Don't withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to act. What is our responsibility? It's not groundbreaking. Do good unto others whenever you are able. Ask God for an opportunity to practice this. Get daily encouragement from God's Word with Anchor Devotional. Try it out at getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit kingdomadvisors.com. That's kingdomadvisors.com.
The world around us is constantly challenging the way we think. That's why we need a constant source of information that's based on the unchanging Word of God. I'm Jeff Shambly, and I invite you to join me for The Stand Radio, a weekly program that highlights the latest trends in culture, faith, and family. You'll hear insightful interviews with a biblical worldview application. The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Well, we're thrilled that you've joined us today for Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and we're ready to take your calls and questions today. I want to talk about buying that car or anything else financial, your investments, your credit report, paying down debt, giving wisely, or staying on budget. We'll talk about all of it and apply God's wisdom, the principles we see in Scripture, to the practical questions and decisions you're making today. So give us a call. We've got lines open, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. We talked today about buying that car, and it is more difficult now, although we are seeing a bit of relief there. Also, some news out today related to your retirement plan contributions. Yesterday, we shared the new rate for I-bonds. Today, the IRS has increased 401k contributions, allowing employees to defer up to $23,000 in their plans. That's up from $22,500 for this year. Now, that's an increase of only $500, of course, but the same does hold true for IRAs. The agency boosted contributions for individual retirement accounts, that's traditional or Roth, up to $7,000 for 2024. That's up from $6,500. So it's not a lot, but could allow you to put another $1,000 away between the two, because remember, you can contribute to an IRA while also contributing to a 401k. So 2024 new limits for contributions up to $23,000 in 401ks and $7,000 for IRAs. Let me just take this opportunity to remind you here as we head toward year end, make sure you're not waiting until the last minute to fund those IRAs. I know CPAs are regularly receiving calls from folks and the advisors wanting to make last-minute contributions to those IRAs, trying to sneak it in under the wire. Obviously, with an IRA, you can actually contribute all the way until you file that tax return. So, you know, if you file prior to April 15th, you can actually wait until 2024 to make a 2023 contribution. But with that 401k, because it's salary deferral, that's going to have to happen this year. And so you want to make sure you're well planned there. Also with your giving, you know, we have so many folks that are wanting to do end of year giving, and that's great. We love that idea. But again, don't wait until the last minute to do that, especially if you're going to do non-cash giving, that is, you know, giving out of assets, which is a really powerful way to give. The key is don't wait until the last minute. Make sure you take the opportunity to think through it and perhaps reach out to the National Christian Foundation. They'd be delighted to help you get up that get that donor advised fund set up prior to year end so you can contribute to it. If you're looking to make an appreciated stock gift, you're going to want to give yourself plenty of time on that. So again, you're not coming right down to the wire. NCF would be happy to help you. They're great friends of ours here at Faith and Finance. And again, just head to ncfgiving.com. All right, let's head to the phones today. We've got some lines open, just a couple remaining, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's begin today in Georgia. Hi, Clarence. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, bro. Hey, it's me again.
I'm glad you called.
Yeah. Listen, God's been good to me. Back in February, I bought my first new car ever. Bought a new Subaru. And I love it. I got it financed at 8% interest. And I'm periodically getting offers through emails and various sources wanting to refinance it at a lower rate. And then I listen to you basically every day that I can, which is almost every day. And, yeah, I hear you talk about a recession coming and possibly the interest rates going down more. What would be your advice on getting it refinanced? Should I wait?
You know, you're really going to want to wait until interest rates drop before it's going to be cost effective for you to refinance. At this point, rates have been continuing to climb, and so you'll likely end up with a rate that's, you know, even higher than what you have right now. So you're going to want to wait that out. We're probably looking not even 2024. It's probably going to be into 2025 before we see enough of a reduction. I mean, it remains to be seen, so we'll watch it next year, but you're going to need to be able to save at least a point and a half, preferably 2 percentage points, before it will make sense for you to spend the money to actually refinance this. But when the time comes and you see rates have dropped, as long as you're not upside down on that car, you got some equity in it, you know, there is a good case for you to go ahead and refinance. Did you have a good credit score, Clarence, when you got this current loan?
It's about 730 or 740. It's down to 704 right now. I don't understand why it dropped, but you know, 2 years ago I had a zero credit score.
Oh wow! Many okay. Times,
and God, like I said, God's really been good to me. Started a checking account. You know, put up the money and. Not checking, but a credit card, put up the money and everything, bought a lawnmower, had a co-signer, and, you know, it just, God's been good.
Yes, he sure has. Well, it sounds like it, and I appreciate your testimony of his faithfulness in your life. You know, it's never a bad idea to, you know, check rates and always be watching. Again, as long as there's no expenses attached to that or very low, when you have the option to get a lower rate, I'd say take it, especially if your credit score was lower and it's been on the rise. I think the key is to make sure you have positive equity in that car. Hopefully you do. And did you put something down when you bought it?
Yeah, I put $5,000 down on it.
Okay, great.
But the offers that I'm getting now says I can reduce the payment now by $120 a month.
Okay. But what about that interest rate? Because what I'm most concerned is the total amount of interest you pay over the life of the loan.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So unless you really need that car payment to come down because you can't, you know, afford it, then I would love for you to keep that payment right where it is. Let's send as much as we can each month. And so really the key is, you know, you want to look for an opportunity to reduce that interest rate. But even if they let you pay something less, and, you know, I suspect your loan will be lower, especially if now it's a smaller balance because you've been paying on it, and if you were able to lower the interest rate, I'd love for you to continue to send the same payment you're sending right now, which is going to help you pay that off even quicker. And then if you keep making that payment to a savings account, you know, you'll have something for the next automobile once you kind of run this one into the ground. So it's a good idea, Clarence. I think you're on the right track. The key is just wait until you can get that lower rate. And then let's try to keep that same monthly payment, even if you're sending a little bit extra than is required. Hey, thanks for being a faithful listener to the program, sir, and we appreciate you calling today. God bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open today, and we'd love to tackle your financial questions. Again, 800-525-7000. We're going to head to break here in just a moment, but, you know, we hear from a lot of folks who are victims of identity theft. That's right. The Federal Trade Commission estimates that 9 million Americans have their identity stolen each year, including children, interestingly. One out of every 10 of us has been directly affected by identity fraud. If you're an active social media user, your chance of having your ID stolen is actually 30% higher. So what do you do about that? How do you stay safe online? Well, I'm going to give you some strategies that fit into three categories: deter, detect, and defend, and help you stay safe as you navigate the web and conduct business online. Plus your questions today, 800-525-7000. That's all just around the corner. Stick around.
The loss of a child through an abortion affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming, but there is hope and healing in the aftermath. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who's been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This year has just flown by. I know, it's already November.
As this year comes to a close, the AFA Foundation would like to invite you to make a planned gift to American Family Association. Consider the many ways your planned gift can help restore a biblical worldview in our nation, as well as bring financial stability to your family. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit our website at afafoundation.net.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Lines are open for your financial questions today, whatever's on your mind. Give us a call, 800-525-7000. We'd love to tackle your questions today. All right, before we head back to the phones, I mentioned that identity theft is on the rise. 9 million plus Americans have their identities stolen each year. So what can you do about it? Well, three, I think, categories of ways you can defend yourself and protect your identity fall into these categories of deterring, detecting, and defending. Let's talk about how you deter identity theft. First, protect your personal information as if it were cash. I mean, really just be vigilant in terms of protecting your personal information. So don't carry your Social Security card. I would memorize the number and leave the card at home. Don't give your personal information to anyone unless you initiate the contact, and that would include through an email. Even if you see the logo at the top of the email from a company that you do business with, they may be impersonating, both in terms of the name on the sender as well as the logo on the email. So don't ever click a link and type in your personal information unless you initiate that contact. I would say never let doctors or other providers use your Social Security number as an account number. Ask for an alternate number. And then, of course, shred your personal mail before throwing it away. And most folks recommend that cross cutter, which is actually going to cut it two ways, and it makes it certainly a lot safer. The second category is detecting. And how do you detect? Well, the key opportunity here is related to your credit report. So you're going to want to check that regularly at annualcreditreport.com. The federal law allows you to get that for credit report free from the three reporting companies, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. And again, that's annualcreditreport.com. So make sure you're checking that regularly. You're going to want to look for charge accounts that you didn't open because obviously those were opened fraudulently in your name. You'll want to challenge those and then be aware that your identity's been compromised. You won't know that somebody's stealing your identity in most cases unless you check your credit report, and that's why it's really important that you do so. And then finally, defend. Well, if you lose your wallet or personal information is stolen, you detect fraud on your credit report, you need to act immediately. I would call the local police to report the crime, get a copy of that report, since this will help you prove that the crime has actually happened. You'll, of course, want to cancel credit cards and close accounts if necessary. You'll want to call the credit agencies and add a fraud alert on your credit bureau files with TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. You'll want to freeze your credit as well, adding that PIN number, which you can do whether your identity's been compromised or not. That's going to put a four-digit PIN number to access your credit file, which will stop fraudsters in their tracks if they try to impersonate you and open an account in your name. And then you'll want to follow up with letters to your affected creditors asking for resolution in writing. You can find a lot more information online and how to deal with it at FTC.gov. That's the Federal Trade Commission, FTC.gov/ID theft. Or you can call 877-ID-THEFT. So listen, folks, we want you to be able to defend yourself from identity theft. And the most important thing is to protect your Social Security number and then stay on top of those credit reports. We don't want to be you to be one of those 9 million folks that face this. It is a huge headache, and it can be a lot worse than even that if we don't stay on top of it. So hopefully that gives you some good best practices as it relates to ID theft. Now, beyond that, what I would also say is don't conduct financial transactions or log into sensitive accounts from public Wi-Fi. So in this case, we would be talking about, you know, not going to a coffee shop and logging into your bank. Do that at home. And then one other thing, make sure you're changing those passwords regularly and use a pretty secure password that has a, you know, at least 12 characters. All right, let's head back to the phones. We've got some lines open today, 800-525-7000. Give us a call. Let's head to South Carolina. Hi, Amy. How can I help you?
Hi, I'm wondering if paying a health share, paying your monthly health share to go to another individual, can be paid out of a health savings account legitimately.
It's a great question, Amy. Unfortunately, no, you cannot use your health savings account to make the payments, tax-free payments to a medical sharing plan. So you can still use your HSA for qualified expenses. So anything that qualifies as a medically related expense, and you can find a list of those online. But those sharing payments to, you know, for instance, Christian Healthcare Ministries or one of the other ones cannot come out of an HSA.
Okay.
All righty.
That's what I needed to know.
Okay, very good, Amy. Appreciate your call today. I am a big fan of these health cost sharing ministries. Our friends at Christian Healthcare Ministries have been serving our listeners for a long, long time, and especially with but medical expenses on the rise, it is becoming more and more challenging to have a solution to be able to cover the high cost of medical expenses. And an alternative to health insurance is health cost sharing, as Christians share one another's medical bills through one of these ministries. CHM is the oldest and biggest. They've shared nearly $10 billion with a B to their members over the life of the ministry. And might be worth you checking out today, especially if you've got a kind of a squeeze on that budget. You're trying to make everything balance. You can learn more at chministries.org. That's chministries.org. All right, folks, we're going to be heading into our next break here in just a moment. When we come back, though, we're looking forward to tackling your financial questions. You know, as we think about managing God's money, there's only four things we can do with God's money. We live on it, we give, we owe, and we grow. And the key is there's principles in God's word around living within our means and avoiding the use of debt and setting some long-term goals and having some margin or cushion and giving generously. And when we simplify our financial life, understanding that God owns it all and we're his stewards or money managers, and then we look to scripture for guidance, well, we put ourselves on a path to experience God's best. So let's tackle your financial questions just around the corner. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word, and we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Are you investing in the future of God's kingdom or wonder how your money can make the most impact for His purposes? Kenneth Boa and Russ Crossan wrote the book Leverage, using temporal wealth for eternal gain, to guide these discussions and build a financial legacy where moth nor rust destroy. Request your copy with your gift of any amount at faithfi.com. Your donation helps us share God's financial principles with others. Leverage your resources for greater impact today.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this. And that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We've got a couple of lines open for your financial questions today. Call right now, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. 525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Let's head to Kentucky. Hi, David. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Rob, I'm so glad I got through. Hey, I'm retired, and I've been on, I've got health insurance through Blue Cross Blue Shield. I've been on there for 15 years, I guess. But now the rates have gone up so drastically for my health insurance with Blue Cross and that type of thing. And my friend told me about Aetna. They've got an Advantage Plus plan. They call it a hybrid or advanced Medicare plan. It's called Advantage PPO.
Yeah.
And it sounds too good to be true because I tell you what, there's no deductible. You don't need referrals. And you get a big rebate on your Medicare B. Do you know anything about this? Is Aetna the only one that does this hybrid Advantage plan?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that one specifically, and so you certainly need to do your homework. You know, a lot of folks will find the downside to the Advantage plan is that they have a limited number of doctors on the plan. It restricts you, which can limit your care options. You know, they can change the list of covered doctors. You know, if you have need a lot of medical care, it could result in high costs because, you know, you don't have the same type of coverage. And you, in many cases, have to get pre-approval. Now, if some of those things have been taken away by this particular product, you know, that would obviously change things. The Medigap policies are generally what we recommend, just because even though it results in more out-of-pocket cost, you can essentially use it, you know, with any doctor and make sure you get the coverage you need. Now, you still want to check with your doctors to make sure they accept the exact insurance and Medigap policy you're considering, but the coverage is far more expansive, and it, you know, also covers healthcare needs when you're traveling abroad, and it may help with long-term care, and you know, it eliminates most of your parts A and B out-of-pocket costs. So, you know, especially if you are going to need some more skilled care and that type of thing, it does become you know, certainly more helpful there. So I think you just want to explore this in a bit more detail and make sure that your doctors are on the plan, understand what your out-of-pocket costs would be, especially if you have needs beyond just routine care. But the specifics of this policy, I wouldn't be able to weigh in on, unfortunately.
Okay, I'm with you. The only two things that I failed to mention is they said you can go to any doctor that takes Medicare. There's no network other than your doctor has to be accepting Medicare. and you don't need any referrals. So I can go see my ophthalmologist or my podiatrist without having to go back to the primary. So it just really sounds like too good to be true, but I guess it's just have to dig into it, like you say.
Yeah, that's right. And I think you can, you know, you can find some good reviews online. For instance, I know NerdWallet, which is kind of a funny name, but it's a great website for this kind of thing. NerdWallet.com. They do reviews on all of these plans. So you'd be able to go there and look at the pros and cons, you know, of what folks are saying who have these types of plans. So I'd encourage you to do that. You know, they'll talk about the premiums. They'll talk about the, you know, satisfaction of the customers that are using it, you know, how the availability is, those types of things. So I'd probably do a little bit more digging online before you, you know, before you make your final decision.
Okay. Thank you so much, Rob. Great.
All right,
program.
David.
I enjoy listening to you.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate you being on today. Appreciate your call. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open. We'd love to tackle your question. Let's head back to the phones to South Carolina. Shara, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. So I have a question that I want to start an event venue, and I need startup funds for that. And I'm thinking, is it best for me to get the funds from my 401k, or shall I go to a credit union or a regular bank when I'm considering the interest rate and paying back the life of the loan? Or what do you suggest?
Yeah. Tell me what it is you're doing. Are you buying a piece of property, or are you just have other startup costs?
So I'm looking at some buildings that would have to be, you know, reconstructed or remodeled to my taste and style that I want the venue to be. And so I'll be leasing it out. And right now, what I'm looking at is probably about 2,000 square footage, and lease and rent is going roughly around maybe $2,500 a month.
Okay.
So I have to work out those details later, but just to get the money to kind of start it up. I just kind of want to know what's the best route to go.
Yeah.
Shall I withdraw it from 401k or?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I certainly understand that. So you don't own the property. You'd be leasing it, and then you're having to pay for the build out. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And how much do you think you're going to need for this?
I'm thinking maybe about $50,000 to at least pay for, you know, 6 months of the rent and do any minor remodeling of the building.
Okay. Yeah, very good. Yeah, I would encourage you not to go to the 401k. You know, if you separated from your employer for any reason, that would all become a taxable event. And if you're under 59, you know, you'd have and a half, you'd have 10% penalty on top of the taxable event. So that'd be pretty expensive money. Plus, you know, the market's obviously down. So I'd love for that money to stay in there for the purpose you put it in for, so that it can continue to grow. And as soon as you borrow it, although the interest is being paid to yourself, the money's not in there to, you know, recover with the market and grow. You know, and we've got this potential downside of this all being a taxable event if for some reason you separated from your employer. So, you know, what I'd probably prefer you do is look at like an SBA loan, Small Business Administration loan, something like that, that you could get, you know, through your local bank. The challenge is it's going to be also expensive money because, you know, a lot of times these loans will be at, you know, prime plus three maybe or more. So prime right now is 8.5. So you could be looking at somewhere between 11.5 and, you know, as much as 15% on these rates. You know, this is what it's for. And so, you know, the government backstops these banks, and these are for small businesses to cover startup costs, working capital expansion, real estate purposes, that type of thing. And when you apply for a loan through one of the lending institutions like a bank or a credit union, the lender then applies to the SBA for a loan guarantee, which means if you default on it, the government pays the lender the guaranteed amount. But they, you know, generally require, you know, an unconditional personal guarantee from everyone with at least 20% in the company. So this means that you and your personal assets are on the hook for the payment if your business can't make them. But it reduces the risk for the lender because of that government backstop. But that would be, you know, generally what I would be looking for, and the amount, you know, that you're talking about, which would allow you to get one of the SBA Express loans, which, you know, can happen quicker, you know, up to $500,000. So before I pulled out of the 401k or certainly considered borrowing from your house or something like that, I'd probably talk to your bank about that and see if that would be an option. I think the other big idea here, Shara, is just make sure you've got the working capital you need because it always takes longer and it's more expensive than we expect. Make sure you have a good, solid business plan and you've done your homework. But I'm excited for you. I'm sure this will be an exciting new business for you. The key is just to make sure you're well planned. Thanks for your call today. We'll be right back.
I love the cooperation between the gifts that these men have. Ezra was a scribe. He knew the law. He knew what to say. Nehemiah was a leader, and God did a great work.
Nehemiah had a vision. He prayed about it. He exerted leadership and motivated people. And then when the going got tough, he kept on going.
Bert Harper and Alex McFarland, advancing through the scriptures, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio's Exploring the Word.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, 800-525-7000. By the way, for our previous caller, if you're thinking about an SBA loan, there's a couple of ways you can go about that. You can look at just contacting your bank directly. You can go to SBA.gov or NerdWallet, actually, and I mentioned them earlier, a great resource to find reviews on banking partners and lending institutions, compare rates for everything from credit cards to mortgages. But they also have an option to apply free for an SBA loan, and they tap into a network of lenders to get you the most competitive rates. It's a great resource. I know billions of dollars have been extended through their service. It's free, and it doesn't put a hard inquiry on your credit file. So it allows you to basically do some checking on what the options would be for you without affecting your credit score and without costing you anything. So just do a Google search or an internet search for SBA Loan Nerd Wallet, and you'll see their application for an SBA loan, which, again, there is no cost for. Hope that's helpful. Let's head back to the phones here in just a moment. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Whether you have a question on your spending plan, maybe your budget's a little tight. And by the way, if you don't have a spending plan, maybe you've tried, it's failed, or you haven't been able to stay on top of it, or it's just been a long time since you used a budget, but you know now is the time for it because expenses are so high. I can't believe what I spent at the grocery store last night for just a few items. Let me recommend the FaithFi app. We'd love to help you set up that spending plan, use the digital envelope system to manage your cash flow and stay on budget. The great thing is you and your spouse can log in and look at it at any time of the day, see what's left in each digital envelope, like eating out or entertainment or clothing. And when it's money's gone, it's gone. And the next paycheck, it'll automatically refund those envelopes, and it'll help you to stay the course and make sure you're giving every dollar a job. So check it out. Download it today. It's the FaithFi app. You'll find it on our website, FaithFi. That's FaithFi.com. Just click app. All right, back to the phones we go here in the final segment. We'll take as many calls as we can. We probably got room for one more, 800-525-7000. Let's go to North Carolina. Hi, Fred. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good morning. I listen to your show quite frequently, and I picked up some good pointers financially, so I appreciate what you do.
Well, thank you.
The question I have is my car was involved in an accident last week. And they were going to repair it, but then the insurance company sent me a notice and saying no, they were just going to total it and they were going to pay me a settlement out of it. But I also have it, understand I have an option. I can elect to keep the car, but the money that I'm going to get out of it is going to be about $2,000 difference. They're offering me $34 total, just totaling the car out and them keeping it, but I only get like $1,200 if I'd like to keep it and repair it or do whatever myself. And yeah. I'm not sure, and it seems to be yays and nays both ways, but
yes.
I'm confused.
Yeah, very good. Well, a car is totaled when the damage exceeds generally 65 to 70% of the market value. And they calculate that by looking at the model and the year, the mileage and condition, and then the damage for the car in your area and the resale value of the parts. So you can keep the car after being totaled, where the insurance or the insurer will pay you the car's cash value minus any deductible due and the amount that the car would have been sold for, you know, to a salvage yard or at the auction. And, you know, so I think the key is negotiating the highest payout or settlement for that that total car's vehicle or total car's value. Have you told them that that's your intention and they've given you a final offer? Is that right?
Yeah, they gave me a final offer. I tried to get them to come up a little bit, but they wouldn't. They said everything is based on, you know, the values of the car and depreciation and the damage. And I said, it's pretty cut and dry, and there's no room for negotiation, is what they told me.
Yeah, yeah, all right.
So what they gave me was basically the most I can get for it.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you can obviously get some use out of it, even for a year, I think paying that $800 difference would probably be worth it. But, you know, you should have the option, especially if you can justify the difference. And, you know, that might be your next step is to go back and look for the, you know, opportunity to convince them that they should be paying more. You'd need to show them evidence to prove that your car is worth more than they originally estimated. And, you know, any upgrades you made to the car could increase its value. So you can try to negotiate out that settlement. It won't be easy to convince them to pay more, but it's possible. So you would need to try to gather, you know, that evidence that you have. If you do, if you don't, then I think it's just a matter of, you know, trying to decide, is it better to take the amount that they'll give you or, you know, and move on? Or, you know, do you, you know, try to continue to drive it and repair it? What would it take to actually get it repaired?
The repair shop estimated at first they were saying 34.5 to repair it, but then when they got it in the shop and started tearing apart and looking at it, they raised the budget up to like 4,100.
Yeah.
And that's when the insurance company came back and said, no, that's a no-go. That's a deal breaker. But what else I'm looking at is the car, even though it was in a wreck, is still very drivable. The main problem is mostly cosmetic damages on it.
Yeah.
I got the passenger door won't quite open all the way, but you can still open enough to get in and out. That's the main problem from the wreck. Still drives good. There's no problems with that. But I had trouble last month trying to get it to pass the safety inspection because of the emission control.
Sure.
The safety features were great. It's just the emission control. And they're telling me it may cost $1,000 to get that fixed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I think, again, going back to this option that you have, if they decide to total it, they will pay you the cash value of the vehicle minus your deductible and, you know, the amount that your car would have been sold for at the salvage yard. And then it'll be up to you to arrange those repairs. So perhaps, you know, that's what you need to try to solve for is the opportunity to get as much as you can out of it so that you can get it to be able to pass inspection, and then you could keep driving it from here. So I'd probably go back and see if you can dig up online any justification for getting that number up. Maybe get a second opinion from another repair shop and see if you can get them to come out of pocket a little bit more, maybe even meet you in the middle by challenging that settlement offer. But I certainly understand where you're coming from here, Fred, and wish you the best in working this out with your insurance company. Thanks for being on the program today, sir. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to Mississippi. Hi, Beth. Go ahead.
Yes. I retired about 3 years ago, and I had a savings, and I was wondering what I had it transferred from where I worked to my bank, and I'm wondering is there any way that I can still add money to that savings?
Yes. Yeah, so did it was it in a 401k or a 403b, Beth, before you moved it to the bank?
No, it was just in a retirement plan.
Okay.
And I can't remember the name of it right now, but it was a retirement plan that I had on my job.
Okay. Yeah, it's probably a 401k, but regardless, did you roll
it was not a 401k.
Okay, but it was probably put in pre-tax, whatever it was?
Right.
Did it come out of your paycheck?
It came out of my paycheck. It was 50-50. I paid so much, and my job paid so much.
Yeah, okay, very good. And then did you roll it? I know you sent it to the bank, but did it go into an IRA, an individual retirement account?
Yes, I rolled it over into an IRA from where it was, right.
Okay, yeah. So you can absolutely add money to it at this point. You'd be able to, for this calendar year, 2023, and actually for, you know, any time before you file your 2023 taxes, you know, next year, you can make a contribution to that up to $6,500. If you're over the age of 70, you can put in up to $7,000 for this year, and then you'd be able to turn around and fund it again next year. So, yes, you can add money to it.
So what do I need to tell my bank? I just need to tell them I want to start adding money to it?
Yes, ma'am. You just tell them you want to make a contribution, and they'll tell you where to send the check to deposit the money.
Okay. Because I was told that you couldn't add any. Someone was telling me that you could not add any money to it after you retired.
No, that's not true. As long as you have earned income, do you still have earned income?
No, I do not. I just retirement.
Okay, I didn't realize that. My apologies. So that would change things. In order to be able to contribute to an IRA, you have to have earned income. So that would be income from employment, wages, salaries, tips, other taxable employee compensation. So you would only be able to put in up to $7,500 over the age of 50, but only as much earned income as you have. If you don't have earned income for 2023, then you would not be able to make a contribution. So contributions are permitted after you roll it out of that retirement plan to an IRA, but only to the extent you have earned income to go along with it. So unfortunately, I think at this point, if you don't have earned income, it's just a matter of getting that position to grow at a reasonable rate from this point forward. Thanks for your call today, Beth. May the Lord bless you. Brian, Rita, we'd love to try to get you on tomorrow. Hang on the line. Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio is brought to you by American Family Radio and our team at FaithFi. Thanks to my team working on this program today. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.